The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Send a message. Aaron will read it. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed. At Degenerates975, you can text the show. You know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch. Comment there. Didn't get to too many of those the first hour, but I'll try to catch up with you guys this hour because just a lot of responses. We talked to Bill O'Brien and the latest on him in hour number one. Baylor Bear Joe says, so desperate for sports, we watch cliff diving. I'm ashamed. Shame, Bill. I'm not ashamed to admit that last night I watched the replay of the Roughnecks and Renegades on FS1.
Oh, boy.
And it's the first time I've actually missed sports. And because I really got into that team. It was fun. I mean, I know it's minor league football, but it was fun and I enjoyed it. So, yeah, I watched that last night. And I watched a lot of poker. But, I mean, I'm pretty much binged out of everything. So, I don't know. It's going to be...
See, all this time when you've been over-binging, I've been holding back.
Well,
I've been too busy.
Yeah, well, it's because you can't work from home as much as I can. So,
well,
yeah.
I'm about to be.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, but we're still going to be doing a show. That as long as we can, we're going to do a show because, you know, we want some normalcy out there, not just for us, but for you guys. Because I care about the people. Damn it,
boy. Tillman Fertitta. Not a good look these days.
You know what? Tell the people about this, and then I want to circle back to something you said off air last week that we didn't get to.
Okay.
Involving the Rockets and spending money.
Tillman Fertitta cuts employee benefits amid coronavirus outbreak. Essentially, he's got a fancy hotel. He's got some fancy restaurants, but the Post Oak Hotel, the employees this week were notified that their benefits would be cut because restaurants have to shut down and dining room operations cease, so they're basically gone. They'll be eligible to use their vacation pay. The Post Oak will maintain and pay benefits for all employees currently enrolled in its health plan until normal hours resume or until June 30th, 2020. But, essentially, he's a guy who is he's basically cutting. I don't know if this is the Rockets announced they're going to take care of everybody in the building, right?
Right.
But this is also part of his deal. I guess maybe he thought this wouldn't be looked at as much. He said earlier this month that his business was off $1 million a day from a base of $12 million a day in restaurant sales. But he says, remember, that last million in sales is your most profitable. That's where your heavy profit is. So if you don't cut expenses, then what can you do? We're not going to cut the quality of the product. You can only cut labor.
Mm.
And I'm guessing what you're going to say, if I remember the conversation correctly, was... I said to you off the air, and I might as well say it on the air.
Yeah, because I think it's interesting based on this.
I don't know, and again, I don't know how accurate what I'm about to say is. I get the feeling though that Tillman Fertitta, and this is going to surprise. It's going to surprise some of you when I say this. I don't think Tillman Fertitta is rich enough to own an NBA franchise. I don't think that he has the kind of money to ride the ups and downs of it.
And I find that interesting considering how much money he spent on the team versus his net worth. It's pretty high. I mean,
a high percentage.
Yeah. And that always, I mean, his reported net worth. I don't know, you know, and I mean, I don't know. I don't know how rich the guy is, but it does seem like there's little hints here and there that maybe he's spent way more for this thing than he's going to be able to make back.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not going to criticize anybody for their business practices at this point because, you know, he's obviously going to be in the news because of who he is. But every business is going to have to make some decisions, and it's unfortunate. Especially in restaurants. I mean, I get it, but I mean, what do you do with wait staff? And, you know, there's just going to be hard decisions made, and it's not fair because the people who are going to get buried by this are the people who can't afford to get buried by
right.
it. And the Tillman Fertittas of the world are going to be just fine. He's still going to have that massive yacht and all his properties, and he'll probably wind up with more in the end because people have to sell stuff off. But, you know.
Make no mistake, it's not like he's not a rich guy.
No, he's fine.
He's a rich guy. But it's almost like if you sit down at a poker table and you sit down with $1,000 in chips.
Okay. Feeling good?
Everybody else at the table has $10,000 in chips. Your margin for error is very slim. I mean, is that a fair way of putting it?
Yeah.
I'm sure you've been in that situation before where you buy into a game, you walk over to the table, they put your chips down, and you're like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Where did I just land?
Well, and even if you're not doing that, it's like being a short stack in a tournament.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do things that other guys can do. You have to wait because you basically have two moves. And you know, that's the thing. When you have to play like that, then you're trying. Everything has to go right for you. You have to wind up with pocket aces, and they don't get cracked. Or you have to get in with something where you're better than the other guy and you hold up. I mean, that's a lot that has to happen. And otherwise, see ya. And I don't know. I kind of feel that. Somebody said Post-Oak Hotel reverse course probably from negative backlash.
Oh, yeah, well. Frank just called in and said the Chronicle has an update that he decided to go ahead and pay them.
Ah.
Good move.
This was in not only hospitality and restaurants, but especially in Houston, every oil and gas company is about to go through some major cuts. Look at the price of crude and global product demand. Yeah, that's already been trending downward, and it's about to get a lot worse. And I know we have a lot of listeners in oil and gas. And, you know, the one thing that I'm guessing, and maybe I'm wrong about this, and somebody can let me know, I'm guessing that all the medical business will be okay. But I don't know that for sure either. And I think you need all your healthcare professionals out there. So, yeah, I think it's going to be rough on everybody, man. I just hope everybody can get through it.
Yeah, and the reason that conversation came up off the air was it was probably about a week ago when there were two owners who were not they were they weren't keen on eliminating fans from their games. They were going to just keep having fans at their games until the government said they couldn't. And those two owners were James Dolan, who, let's face it, no one is going to confuse James Dolan for a good owner. I mean, he now that the Clippers have changed hands, he may be the consensus worst owner in the NBA, right?
Yeah.
And Tillman Fertitta, he was the other. So that's when I was like,
that's not a name you want to be associated with.
No,
that's kind of like saying the last time I had to do this was with Aaron Hernandez.
Right. And when that news came out, I asked Fred, I was like, you know, the more I think about it, do you think that Tillman Fertitta is rich enough to be an NBA owner? And we thought about it at the time, and we should have talked about it then. Not that we can't have the conversation now, but Tillman Fertitta lives like a guy who, this is all relative. Some of the decisions he makes it seem like he's living paycheck to paycheck, which obviously we know he's not.
Well,
and he's clearly on the frugal side of NBA owners, NBA governors. But is he so far on that side that it makes you worry?
You know, I don't know. I've talked to a lot of people who've worked with him. They say he's like that in every business, and maybe that's why he's successful, is because he does run a really tight ship. Space Ghost says Google says $4.7 billion for Fertitta. So if you imagine the rockets are part of that, so his net worth elsewhere is worth less than the rockets are equal to? To me, that's a proportion that doesn't really add up. So Lamont wants to defend him. Let's hear it. Go.
Hey, man, I really don't want to defend Tim Fertitta. I know that the call screener brought it in like that, but he's just doing business right now. The only reason that you're saying this right now, AJ, is because you rarely see any other professional sports owners with other businesses on the side outside of Mark Cuban. You seeing Tim Fertitta do stuff in the real world right now, and that's how the real world operates. That's how the real world operates, man. That dude got money. But that's how business works, man. I work with money every day. I work with Excel sheets, and I work with formulas and calculations. That's how it happens, man. And that's all I have.
All right.
Chad and Spring brings up Fertitta just bought the Palm restaurant chain for $45 million. Timing might not have been all that great on it.
It's like the guy who refinanced his house two weeks ago.
Yep. John says beer business is booming.
You know, I bet it is, although I think a lot of breweries, particularly I know the local breweries here, make a good portion of their money from having people in their tap rooms. Yeah. And that's shut down now. So they're, I'm sure package alcohol sales are up.
And most of the breweries are selling beer that you can pick up beer.
The only one that I know for sure is not doing the to-go sales is Brash, the only local one that I know of.
Okay. Well, here's my... I think in hard times and times of depression, which is where we're headed, the things that tend to do well are escapes, which means alcohol, drugs, gambling, sex.
Yeah.
So if you own a business involved with any of those, you'd probably be okay.
Although strip clubs, I think, are in trouble.
Yeah, well, that's not actual... Well, I mean, they probably have private clients that they'll hook up with.
I mean, that's I wouldn't be surprised if there's strippers who are turning to escorts.
They probably... Yeah, well, I'm sure there were a few that already were, and they have clients, and they go get them. Somebody on Twitch line says Mark Cuban's net worth is $4.3 billion, but go look at what he paid for the Mavericks.
Yep.
So the worth of that team is probably about half of his net worth now, but for what he paid for it, he's made a profit, a significant one.
And if you had to say you count on one guy to make more money going forward, Mark Cuban or...
Mark Cuban... I know people here don't like him because he owns the Mavericks.
Oh, he's one of the best owners in sports.
He's one of the best owners in sports. He's one of the sharpest guys out there. I've got tons of respect for him as a businessman, as an owner. And, I don't have a negative thing to say about Mark Cuban.
I don't either.
All right. Quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Clock and grab your job.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 832 says, not only do I not believe Tillman is the only owner with business outside of sport, I would bet there isn't a single owner whose only business is their team.
Of course.
Yeah.
But and this isn't like... How many dollars Tillman Fertitta has isn't what I'm saying. Tillman Fertitta has enough net worth to be a successful NBA owner. When I say is he rich enough, I meant more can he live like that? Because there's a lot of guys who are willing to risk that money and throw it around and
It's a hobby. I think he's treating it as a business, which is okay in some instances.
It is, but there's also times where it's not going to work. And I think he's one of, and again, the list is always changing. I think he's one of the 10 richest per, net worth, reported net worth owners in the league. But is he, his frugality is what, it just seems like he's kind of a corner cutter.
Yeah.
Anytime he can pinch a penny, he's going to, which isn't always the best asset for an NBA owner. You like that when it comes to like a GM or something, an owner?
On the flip side, it's not like he's, Phoenix or something like that. He's paying Harden and Westbrook a ton of money. So, but I mean, that's also, hey.
But like the panic over, we got to get below the luxury tax. We got to get below the luxury tax. If you're a team who's really thinking you're going to win the whole thing, the luxury tax isn't a concern to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. A lot of people asking about would we still do the show if we had to do it from home? Yeah, we'll have, if that happens, we'll be able to do it because we're going to be here, man.
Uh-oh. Official statement from Bill O'Brien.
Really?
You ready for it?
Oh, do I really want to hear this?
In accordance with NFL policies, the Houston Texans have been prohibited from making any official announcements regarding free agency or free agent signings or trades until the player has safely completed a physical and signed a contract. Given the difficult and unprecedented circumstances engulfing the world right now, the health and safety of our communities is our foremost priority. We are excited to welcome the newest Texans to Houston when all transactions become official. In the meantime, we will do our best to keep fans informed while keeping football in its proper perspective.
That SOB is hiding behind the virus, isn't
Bill
he?
Bill O'Brien.
Oh, my God. Hey, man. F*** that.
Oh, and it says, P.S. You suck, too! You suck, too! Mother...
Boy, he's hiding. He's hiding behind the whole thing, isn't he? He is hiding behind this. What a scumbag. Oh, I didn't think I could hate him more.
He's a dirtbag.
Yeah.
He's the worst.
Travis on Facebook wanted to know if you think with the sports drought, esports will start taking off and become more mainstream. Apparently, two race drivers decided to actually compete.
Honestly, it wouldn't shock me. I mean, it's got a nice little runway here to make something happen.
Yeah, I think it's kind of one of those, it's like horse racing. If you're into it, you're into it. But maybe it'll work if there's nothing else going on, kind of like with the UFC card.
Right. If you're into it. I mean, if you're into sports and there's no sports, at some point, you might try it.
479 says, my neighbor and I started watching TVG in the evening and betting each other on the races. Last night, we watched a replay and bet on it.
Yep.
I'd have something to bet on. Yeah, the wife and I always have a little game whenever we're watching the races where she'll pick a horse and I'll pick a horse and whoever's... Yeah, and there's no handicapping. It's like we'll be in the bar watching it. And it's just, okay, we'll look at the odds and we'll both take one that's 6 or 8 to 1. And whoever's horses loses has to buy the drink. So, 713-780-ESPN's the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. I think a lot of people getting the same impression that I did from that he's hiding behind the virus. Am I wrong to get that impression? I mean, it's kind of what it seems like.
No.
Well, we're not going to comment on any of this stuff and... because, everything that's going on in the world. But you're still out there signing them.
Let's keep everything in perspective. Football is just a game. There's people dying out there. You guys are all upset at me because I traded that dummy DeAndre Hopkins. Listen, there's people dying with the coronavirus, all right? That's not a joke. That's real life.
Steven, the weather guy, said there are now at least 3 different services offering weather betting if you get the degenerate itch.
Yeah, I saw Bovada. Tyler sent it to me yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that you can bet on how hot it's going to be, stuff like that.
How am I supposed to, as the GM of this team, how am I supposed to pay health insurance for 93 baby mamas? Huh? How about limit it to 1 or 2, bro? Come on.
Yeah, if I'm the Texans, when David Johnson gets his physical, he ain't passing.
That's the smart move.
Yeah.
But even now, it's irreparable. I mean, there's no way you can fix the DeAndre Hopkins thing.
The only thing you could do is you could mitigate it by if the trade's off, you say, well, we'll take a first round pick for him.
Oh, God.
We'll take your first round pick this year instead of David Johnson. And the Cardinals would almost have to do it because, you know, they made such a big deal. Oh, we got DeAndre Hopkins. Woo.
Yeah, maybe.
So, yeah, somebody said just like he hid with the Astros scandal. Yep. Bill O'Brien is the virus. He kind of is. He's the virus that's just spread throughout the entire organization. And at some point, he's going to kill it. So, yeah. And I'll be honest, I'm not sure there's anything he could have said that was going to make me feel any better. It's kind of like how the rest of the world felt about the Astros. Nothing they say was going to matter. This is just bad. This is embarrassing. Yep. Oh, we're not going to talk about anything because, well, everything that's going on in the world. Well, guess what? People need an escape. They'd like some sports. They'd like to hear your reasoning behind this. Because guess what? We ain't got nothing else to do. Bill.
How would you like if he came out with like business cards and handed them out to the media and just said, look, what does that say? Bill O'Brien, GM? Yeah, that means I do what I want. Just suck it. And just walked away.
You suck too.
I mean, he's basically done that, minus the business cards. That's what he does. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about the fans.
Nope.
Doesn't care about the media. I don't care if you don't care about the media. That's fine. But you don't care about the fans. All right. These guys are, you're going to, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what people can do. Goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning. I think the idea of just not going to one game. But who knows? We may not even have football in September. All right. Quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Showers like a dog at the shrine of your life.
I'll tell you my sins and you can sharpen it. This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Grimjow says most esport events are on hold outside of online tournaments. I guess that's probably true. The ones that they have.
Oh, yeah, but,
I
mean,
online, though.
I thought online is all you need.
I would think.
I thought that was the beauty of esports.
Our Twitch guys would know all about that, so they'll let us know. Lamont says, do you guys feel sorry for John Harris and Mark Vandermeer who have to put lipstick on this? No, John chose to go work with his buddy.
Yeah.
So
this is his boy.
Yeah. I mean, I like John, but that was his decision. And, you know, Vandy's always been good at dealing with, because it's hard when you're a play-by-play guy. And it's one of the reasons why I guess he stopped doing the morning show, because you can't really do a show and be a play-by-play guy.
It's hard.
I mean, it's really difficult. But, I mean, he's always handled that really well. And I like Vandy. But, yeah, I love John, but I got no sympathy for him. So
they're still paying the bills.
Yep. Yep. Somebody says, Netflix suggestion for you guys, new ZZ Top documentary. Yeah, I watched that last night and tweeted out about it. And of course, there was one guy who was like, well, it didn't go in depth enough. Like, I guess people wanted
more. They wanted to see their colonoscopies.
Well, they wanted more on Frank Beard's drug stuff, but he talked about it a lot, about all the stuff he did.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really open about it. So, yeah, I thought it was fantastic. And, yeah.
I've gotten multiple compliments on my You Suck Too, how close to O'Brien it is. I've been working on that. Thank you, guys. Mm. I appreciate the kind words.
Yeah.
They don't go unnoticed.
No, no. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And, yeah, we're just the Texans have given us something to talk about for a couple days, but that's about to end. So we'll get back to whatever we can come up with. So we said I had a trip to Vegas scheduled this weekend. So much for that. What are the odds casinos reopen in May? So this is the problem. I don't know. I think all these people, like baseball, talk about, mid-May. I don't think that's happening. I mean, if I think that this shutdown, because we've decided to do this, it's going to be something that's going to last, man.
You know what I think? I believe that in some places, warmer places, it's going to go away sooner. I think it's going to be harder for virus to live here.
That's what people say. It's like, oh, well, even Trump said, well, it's over 78 degrees. Hey, have you been outside?
Yeah.
It's 80 degrees here. Go ahead and kill it. We're still getting them. Yeah. Somebody says, after that documentary, Frank Beard has me generally interested in heroin. Joking, maybe. He did make heroin sound like the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, well, it's got a good reputation.
Yeah, but, you know, it's funny because one of the things that I really liked about the documentary is, and I used to see this all the time in my old life, there's just such a bias against anything from Texas, especially if you're L.A., New York. And really, there were the super bands of the time were all L.A., New York, or England. And ZZ Top made it cool to be from Texas. And I got my chance in L.A. because ZZ Top was big, and they wanted a Texas guitarist then. That's when, you know, he and then Stevie Ray, and then there was a whole group of people.
Back to back?
Yeah, that was a pretty good one. You wasted one off air. But, you know, so that, they made it cool to be from Texas, and that's one of the reasons why I love that documentary so much. Yeah, although they did not at any point play Jesus Just Left Chicago, which kind of hurt my feelings a little.
Yeah.
But so
you pick a B-track title. I mean,
that's a damn good song. Come on. But yeah, if you're at all into it, I totally totally recommend it. So, A32, does RJ still think the Texans benefit from O'Brien? I'd really like to have that conversation with him Friday. Really would. Been wanting to do it now for a while, and now it's probably going to change with. And Larry mentions then came Pantera. Yeah.
Yep.
That's the thing. They opened it up for a lot of guys. And but it was really cool because you got to see some of that while they were touring. And I think the best story on there, and just mild spoiler here, but they played a place in Alvin and there was one dude there early on. And apparently he kept up with him for years after that and say, hey, remember me? I'm that dude. But there was one. And honestly, that hit home because I've been in bands where you walk into a place and there's three people there and it's disheartening as hell, but then you just put on the best show you can.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was pretty funny because you think, wow, man, what would somebody pay to be that guy now? Be the only guy at a ZZ Top concert. So my sports map article that I was touting all week, can I give you my five worst trades in Houston history?
Yep.
And there's a lot more detail on these on the site, so go read them. And there's a couple I left off, and I'll explain why. But these are, and the reason I picked these five is in almost every case, a Hall of Famer was traded for almost nothing early in their career or at the peak of their career. Now, I don't know that Hopkins is a Hall of Famer yet, but he's certainly on that track if he plays another 8 to 10 years. So number five on the list, Rockets trading Elvin Hayes to Washington for Jack Marin. And this one's five because they were technically the San Diego Rockets. But if this sounds familiar, he had a personality coach clash with his then coach Tex Winter. Well, all Hayes went on to do was win a title with Washington and go to the Hall of Fame. Jack Marin. Number four on the list, your Rockets again, trading Moses Malone to Philadelphia. Now, the only reason this one isn't higher is because the plan was to tank, and they wound up getting Sampson and Olajuwon back-to-back. But Malone had won the MVP the year before they traded him. He won another MVP the next year, led the Sixers to one of their most dominant season ever. And, yeah, they basically dealt one of the best players in the league for a pick that turned out to be Rodney McRae, which could have been Clyde Drexler, but no, they went with Rodney McRae.
But, like you said, they at least they sucked enough to get –
yeah.
You know, and Samson and Dream out of it.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, so the end result of it.
Because you've got to imagine if they'd kept Moses Malone, Akeem is never in. He's never an option.
No, but, you know, 2 years before that, they're in the championship game.
That's true.
Or championship series, excuse me. Number three on your list. This one drives me nuts to this day. Astros trading Curt Schilling to the Phillies for Jason Grimsley. At the time, Schilling, he had great stuff. They never tried him as a starter. They played him in the bullpen the whole time. And instead of, hey, let's try this guy out as a starter, which, by the way, worked out for the rest of his career pretty damn well, they traded him for a guy who never pitched for him. He was in the minors for 1 year, and then he was cut. Mm. And he would go on to make, Schilling would have 6 All-Star appearances and 3 World Series appearances. Grimsley actually pitched for a long-ass time. Just never for the Astros. So that was a bad one. I have the Hopkins trade number 2. And number 1, and this one, yeah, you mentioned this the other day, the Oilers trading Steve Largent to Seattle. They drafted him in the 4th round in 1973. They were going to cut him at the end of camp, so they gave him to Seattle for an 8th round pick. So you're already getting diminishing returns here. And all he did was play 14 seasons, become a Hall of Famer, one of the all-time greats, had 8 years of at least 1,000 yards. He scored 100 touchdowns.
I'll be honest. I think this might be the Hopkins might be worse.
I went back and forth. I told you yesterday. I flip-flopped the top 3 about 6 times before I finally decided on this, because I don't know if Hopkins is going to go on to a Hall of Fame career. But yes, you can make that case, and the reason I had it won for most of the time, and I thought, well, you're overreacting to the recency bias here.
The reason why I say it could be worse is because at the time, Steve Largent wasn't a great player. That's a miscalculation of what his potential was. With Hopkins, there's no question that he's a great player. Like you are trading away a known great commodity, and you're getting back a bunch of meh, maybe. So that's tough, man.
Yeah, it's just. I think you thought enough to use a 4th round pick on the guy.
Yeah.
And then you just gave him away for less than what you did basically a month before. And he was good right away for them. Especially I'm going to rehab Friday for PTSD and alcohol problems. Where can I get your book, Fred? I don't know if that's a great book while you're going through that, but JesusTheNovel.com. And if you guys are looking for something to read right now, that's please go check it out. It's been interesting. The sales have really spiked in the last week. And so here's the next 6 on the list. I mean, I listed them. Number 6 was the Oilers trading Kenny Houston to the Redskins. They had some bad ones back in the day. He also went on to the Hall of Fame. Astros trading Joe Morgan to the Reds in 1971.
Yeah.
Texans trading Clowney. Texans trading Dwayne Brown. Astros trading Kenny Lofton to the Indians for Ed Taubensee. That's another one of my favorites. The one that Stephen from Culture Map asked me about was like, what about Warren Moon? Well, Warren Moon was 37 when they traded him.
Yeah, that's like Joe Montana getting traded to the Chiefs.
Yeah, and he had a couple of good years after that, but they thought they had had their quarterback and they were going to move on. And, you know, they did. Didn't work out. All right. Who was the... Oh, Bucky Richardson wound up playing quarterback for him. We shall return. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 409 says, how about the Astros not re-signing Nolan Ryan? That's not a trade.
It's not a trade.
Yeah, these are trades. And, you know, Lamont, every now and then.
It's crazy that we're not even throwing the Clowney trade in there.
I had it in the top 10.
Or the Dwayne Brown trade.
I had it in the top 10. Okay. Yeah. I listed the second 5. You didn't listen. Lamont, sometimes, man, you shouldn't just tweet. So you bleeped on the Motley Crue Netflix documentary, but love ZZ Top. They were practically the same. They weren't even in the same ballpark. For one thing, ZZ Top was from Houston. And that adds an appeal to somebody like me who also happens to be from Houston. Plus, I just thought it was way better done, and Yeah, the Motley Crue one, I mean, come on. They weren't even the same ballpark. Is it just two rock bands, so it's the same thing? Now, it's not like the, remember that Behind the Music they used to do on VH1? Those were all the same. Every single story was the same. Band has a bunch of success. Band gets mad at each other, breaks up. Drummer loses an arm in an accident. Band gets back together. That's pretty much the whole plot for that. And that's what the Motley Crue thing struck me as. But I thought this was really good and really different and really well done. So, 713-780-ESPN's the number. 713-780-3776. Somebody says, Bo, I live in Alvin, and the residents here are obsessed with finding out who that dude was. Yeah, I mean, there were some just nice touches in there. And, and I know you saw them. You saw them in Vegas not that long ago. They don't look good. Yeah, they health-wise. So if you get a chance to see these guys still, you probably want to grab them now while you still can. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
So, we kind of alluded to this and we didn't get to it, but I wanted to dive into the story a little bit. Did you see the former Miss Nevada who tweeted out about going to a crowded Red Robin, responding to that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez person? She responded with a tweet that said, I just went to a crowded Red Robin and I'm 30. It was delicious and I took my sweet time eating my meal because this is America and I'll do what I want. And you know what? It's kind of like the spring break thing. Everybody's young. This thing ain't going to affect them much if they get it. I understand that. But come on, man. Bad look. Bad look. Why don't you just... I mean, again, making it political by responding to someone who's making things political herself. But, you know, when your mom gets it and kicks, is it going to be as funny? Did you see the guy from Japan who went around the bars died from it?
No.
Yeah, the guy who bragged about spreading it.
Well, died doing what he loves.
Yeah. Somebody asked about trades. What about Olajuwon trade to Toronto at the end of his career? He was done, though.
Yeah, it's not like you missed him after that.
Yeah.
There's a difference between trades that hurt you emotionally and trades that actually hurt your team.
Yeah.
Trading Olajuwon at that point didn't hurt because it's not like Olajuwon went on and won two titles in Toronto. He was a bum there.
Yeah, and I mean, it was... Yeah, that one doesn't, and I had a couple that didn't even make the list, like trading Ken Caminiti and Steve Finley in their primes.
Yeah,
that was a pretty bad one, and not really getting anything back. But and there were a couple other Oiler ones, believe it or not. They had some dumb ones back in the day. Oh, regardless, that was your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day, it's the Gem of the Day, the Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Stevens sent me this. I was going to get to it at some point today, that George R. R. Martin is using his self-quarantine time to finish writing The Winds of Winter. Guess what, George? We don't really care anymore, bud. The whole thing's over. I mean, I'm not even sure I'm interested in the books at this point. Because I thought the books were way overwritten. And I know that's not a popular opinion, but I thought the TV series was better. And, you know, frankly, there's just a lot of characters and a lot of plot lines that they took out of there that I thought made the series better. And I don't really need to revisit any of those, but I'll probably read it just because I'm a sucker. But yeah, I think I'm going to use my time to, I'm going to crank out some more stuff. I don't know exactly what yet. I'm halfway through the sequel, but, while people have time to read, I don't know that I can get a thing published, but I might have, I've got like a collection of short stories that I might make available to people if they want to have something to read during these down times. TRS, what about the trade between Steve Francis from McGrady? That was a good trade.
Yeah.
Yeah. How was that a bad trade?
Got me.
Just curious.
Again, that's probably people were emotionally attached to Steve Francis at the time.
Yeah, but that trade worked
you
out.
You upgraded it.
Yeah, that was a significantly getting a better asset than what you gave up. And so he asks, what about best trades? It has to be Bagwell.
Yeah, that's the easy one.
Yeah. So. Oh, man. 713-780-ESPN.
But Larry Anderson was a good ball player. Never forget.
Hey, Larry Anderson was a hell of a drinker. We used to run into Larry at Sam's Boat and would have a few drinks with him. So,
but like everyone thinks that, I mean, Larry Anderson wasn't a bad relief pitcher here.
No, he wasn't. But
he was a well-liked player. Had a nice mustache.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, if you were a good player in the 80s, you had to have a good mustache.
What was the guy who... I think he was the bench coach for the Astros at the time. It was Mel Ott's kid. We used to see him there all the time. Can't remember his name.
Yeah, Larry Anderson, career ERA, 3.15.
Hey.
That's strong.
Yeah, I mean, I like the guy. So...
But
didn't quite work out.
I'll say it was worth it.
Yeah, probably a good
deal for the Astros. Yeah.
But God, I can't remember his name. This is what's funny. Like, I can remember some of the dumbest details about nothing, and I can't remember what his kid's name was.
Mel Ott's son.
Yeah,
well, you got me.
Yeah. But and Cam and Eddie came in there a couple times too, and I was always struck by how small he was.
Ken Caminiti?
Yeah, I mean, like height-wise, and just he was just a kind of a small person that was really well put together. And a lot more put together when he...
when he
put a little juice
enhanced.
In there. Yeah, yeah. So, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Man, if we have to do the show from home, and my wife works from home, and I'm going to have to spend all that time around her. I would be willing to bet you real money we'll be divorced by the end of this.
Oh, no.
And there's just no way. There's no way that we're going to be able to get a... Although, we do have kind of a good routine. Yeah, it was Ed Ott. That was his name. He's not related to Mel Ott. That's what the confusion was. I remember that. But, yeah, he was coaching for the Astros at the time. He would go there all the time. But, yeah, basically she has her setup upstairs where she can work and watch TV, and I have my setup downstairs where I can work and watch TV. So hopefully that'll work out.
All right. Yeah, if we end up working from home, I think because my bedroom has – I can directly plug into our internet there.
Yeah.
So that's probably going to become my office. That way there's no kids around.
Yeah, the one thing that will happen if I'm broadcasting from home, no matter how hard I try to stop it, at some point, the damn dog's going to go nuts. You're going to hear it. It's like, damn it, Dynamo. Shut the bleep up. Just got a message on someone on Twitter. Just heard Lucky's Pub is opening for to-go food tomorrow.
All right.
And they actually have pretty good food there, which, good, that's another one in my area. The odds, Daryl Morey started all this with China. Dad thinks Oilers giving up Largent was worse than this. Nuke for nothing. Please tell him he's wrong. I went back and forth. I
think you can make an argument on both sides.
I flip-flopped those two about five times before I settled it.
I'll hear it on both sides.
Yeah. So he says, Verlander trade has got to be better than the Bagwell trade. I don't think so, but it's up there. It was a good trade. I mean, they don't win the World Series without him. And
I mean, they got a full Hall of Fame career out of Jeff Bagwell.
Right. Yeah. Ed Ott, not related to Mel Ott. Thank you, guys. I just blanked on that one for some reason. Nice dude. But
I didn't drink with him, so I don't really know.
It was just a couple times. That was a fun group. That was when I was just getting started in journalism. And turns out that was the place to go to try to meet women. And we all had the same goal. So, yeah. And, oh, well.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Carbach. And there's one thing that we want to keep doing is drinking beer. Everyone, no matter what the circumstances, if we're locked in the house, we're going to need beer. And when you go to the store and you look up and down the beer aisle, you're like, oh, what's going to get me through this trying, terrible time? My friends, it's Carbach. Cool, cold, refreshing Carbach. That's right. They've got something for everybody. And they've got something for you. You can't go to the restaurant right now, obviously. That's not necessarily working out. They had to cancel their concert series. But the good thing is, your local grocery store has plenty of Carbach. I promise you, they're still pumping it out at the brewery. They're still going to get it out to the people, because that's what the people need in these trying times, is delicious beer, and Carbach's going to keep it flowing. So whether you want something light like the Weekend Warrior or the Love Street, or you want to go heavy, you want to go with one of these IPAs, or you're looking for stouts, they've got you covered on all ends. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to keep up with everything going on. And when you're out and about, or when you're staying at home this week, make it a Carbach.
Of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!